The money is in distribution. Really, what good is a great product or service if the people it is created for never get it? Honestly, it's worthless. Sorry to say, that's the truth. The product and or service is worthless because the people it is made for cannot get it. Think about it. The product or the service can't bring value to the producer or to the potential customer. That's why today we're going to talk about why distribution is so important, why the money is really in distribution, and how you can own and control your distribution for almost any industry. You just got to understand how it works. So let's get it. So what's good, everybody? Thank you so much once again for joining us for the Ambition Show podcast. I'm your humble host, Aaron Muhammad. And the money is truly in distribution. We've seen this in so many industries where distribution bottlenecks. It controls creativity. It controls how far you can go in an industry. And because of the innovations of technology, we've seen things like SaaS, software as a service. You know, we've seen things where complete barriers of entry and gatekeepers, right, have been completely removed and destroyed. And when we talk about distribution, we're talking about getting that product and service to the end user. Because of so many changes and opportunities with technology over the past, just even the past 5 years, but overall the past 30 years, there are so many areas and ways and opportunities for us to get our customers what they need the most and get them the value added products and service that we are producing, that if we understand how distribution works and how we can leverage for ourselves, we get rid of a lot of middlemen or we learn how to properly negotiate with the middlemen, or, okay, I normally would only use or once, you know, but in this case, it's really necessary. We learn how to become the revenue generating machine middleman if we understand how distribution works. So we're first going to go into defining distribution from the most basic level. If you get this foundation, you get that understanding, then you'll understand how to leverage it for yourself, what distribution means in different industries, because in different industries, there's a level of importance of distribution, right? In distribution channels, distribution companies, there is a level of importance, right? And emphasis and profitability. Distribution as an industry is important to understand the basics because, once again, even though it's different in every industry, there's an overall encompassing industry of technically of distribution in itself, right? And then finally, how to make money from distribution, how to turn and leverage distribution into a revenue generating machine for yourself, for your small business, for your startup, right? If you're kicking around the idea, do you want to franchise? Do you want to, you know, have your own startup build it up from scratch? You want to have your own entrepreneurial venture, you know, from the ground up. If you understand that there's opportunities to, like I said, to become that middleman or leverage that middleman and become that distribution channel, that may change what type of business you even start from the very beginning or what kind of business you stay in. Maybe you're a business owner right now, you're looking to exit or you're looking to change things up. Understanding better how these distribution channels and how these methods work will help you a great deal. Finally, how to control distribution based on the industry you're in. That is an area that actually would kick this whole episode off was a question on our core spaces about how someone can truly control the distribution of their product. And it kind of got the wheels turning in a nice, it was an off-site private conversation that I had with the person who left that great question. But the best part about it is it was able to blossom into a whole episode to where that information could be shared with, you know, with the audience here and hopefully a broader audience going forward. Because here's the thing about it, defining distribution in different industries, the only thing that may change in the next 10, 20 years would be more opportunities to make money from distribution. But defining distribution, you got to get this foundation. Distribution as an industry, understanding the differences in different industries, how distribution works. That's the foundation. Once you get that under your belt, now those wheels can turn. Okay, I can turn one into a revenue generating machine. I can turn another into, I can at least leverage, or I can get rid of a middleman altogether. Once you get those basics now, you get that foundation going, you're good to go. So come back from this commercial break. We're going to get right into it. Let's get it. All right, everyone. So really, what is distribution? Let's get this out of the way. Let's define it, get it firmly understood. really what it comes down to is distribution or distribution channel is really a network, right? It's a network of businesses or intermediaries. Basically, what they're doing is they're finding a means to get the product or the good, the service, to pass through these different channels, whether it be an online platform, something physical, a storefront, and get it into the buyer's hand, right? To get it into the user's hand, to get it what we call the end user, right? So that can include wholesalers and retailers. Like some people think, we immediately think just the wholesaler is a form of distribution, when actually the retailer is as well, right? So a wholesaler, person who has so many products, massive amount of products, they get it directly from a manufacturer. And then that wholesaler, what typically happens is a retailer will purchase from the wholesaler, right? So one wholesaler could supply 10,000, a million different retailers. So it kind of works as a nice little, if you will, kind of a distribution center, a centralized distribution place where you have, let's say, five manufacturers. Let's look in the fashion world. You have five different fashion manufacturers, five completely different, not clothing lines, manufacturers. Keep that in mind. Okay, for you fashion people and apparel people, this is very important to understand the difference. Long history of, you know, working in e-commerce and fashion and apparel. So this is right in my old school wheelhouse. But let's say we've got a manufacturer creates jeans, creates denim apparel, right? Jackets, jeans, shirts, whatever it may be. Then you have a couple of other manufacturers. One makes t-shirts, one focuses on shoes. I did not say brands. I'm saying manufacturers, right? These are the people who get those raw materials and they make it into an actual product. That wholesaler is getting product from multiple manufacturers, bringing them into house. Now, here's where those brands, those apparel lines, those retailers come in. Because in some cases, let's say we have one retailer, they are the actual brand. They are the actual clothing line, right? They go to that wholesaler. They're like, well, you know what? I don't manufacture apparel, but I know the apparel that I want. I know the type of styles that I want. So they go to a specific wholesaler that has those styles. And that wholesaler, it's working that relationship with that manufacturer because they know they can trust them. They know they're going to give them a certain amount of supplies. They know it's going to be a certain level of quality. All the stuff the retailer really doesn't have to worry about, right? You don't have to worry about that relationship, or the retailer doesn't have to worry about that relationship. The wholesaler has that relationship with the manufacturer. The retailer then says, hey, you know what? I want to put my own labels. I want to put my own, you know, custom tags on it. That retailer now has a retail brand, right? Your distribution is your manufacturer to wholesaler to you as the retailer. Now, in some cases, what if you are the brand, right? But you don't have a retail storefront. Same, almost exact same scenario. You're not the manufacturer necessarily, right? Maybe you work with raw material manufacturers work with you. You guys make a connection. You say, hey, I want you to produce this type of product for me. You are the brand. You're not a manufacturer, but you are the brand. You have somebody produce it for you. That manufacturer says, hey, I have good wholesalers I work with who have connections with retailers. Great. We can make sure that the wholesalers buy a certain amount of product of your brand and sells it out to these different retailers. You saw with those two scenarios, you are not the distribution channel necessarily, but the channel of distribution has gone through manufacturer, wholesaler, retailer, right? Distributors can be in multiple forms. Distribution overall, right, can have these multiple channels. The key to understanding this is that this is kind of the old school way of looking at it. With the event in the creation of the internet, and now we have e-commerce, we have an opportunity to redefine, and it truly has been redefined, but not only to redefine it, to control these distribution channels to where you might not need that physical retailer because, once again, you have e-commerce. But as I always like to say, they ain't making no more land. Right? They haven't reinvented water. It's the same thing happening online where we have e-retailers, like an Amazon, like an eBay, like a Rakuten, like a Alibaba, so on and so forth, right? Whether it's direct to consumer end user retailers, typically what you would see in Amazon, or you have a fully wholesale platform, or you have a fully wholesale manufacturer relationship and distribution platform like an Alibaba, right? And there's many in between, right? You have GHGate, you have, like I said, you have Rakuten, you have a lot of different platforms that are all throughout. But these are some of the biggest players, right? These are some of the most well-known, or should someone say, one of the most well-known players that you have out there, but definitely not the only ones. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that just because it's on the internet, the same format, because every time we reinvent or so-called reinvent, every time we come up with a new way of doing things, you got the same players. It's just like advertising, right? Distribution is no different. We've gone over to the internet, gone over to online channels. They're doing the same thing here. Distribution is really, in marketing terms, right? It's really synonymous with place. Now, if you guys understand, you know, the classic, the traditional, the old school 4 P's of marketing. Okay. For those who don't know what the 4 P's of marketing, typically in this organization of it, if you will, this breakdown of it would be product, price, place, promotion. Those are the 4 P's of marketing. Now, it has gone on to evolve into others, but really the foundation of marketing still is going to go back to these 4 P's. And that is truly it, because that's what marketing encompasses, right? Promotion. You think of everything that comes out of promotion. You have public relations, you have advertising, you have, of course, once again, you have what people sum up to marketing. But public relations, advertising, promotion, sales, all of these, right, are under marketing. But marketing still, you have product development, product design, right, research and development. That's your product. That's still a part of marketing. So for anyone who thinks there, you know, the data that's going into your marketing initiatives, there's a reason why you're pulling that data in your data analytics. There's a reason why you're pulling in your Google analytics from your website. It's because you're understanding what product works, what product doesn't, what the people want, what the people don't want. Same thing goes into your pricing. Here's place. Place is that distribution channel. Place are those distribution channels if you have multiple channels. This is the place where you should sell your product, how it should be delivered to the market, to the end user, the prices it should be set at, because the price is, of course, going to be partially determined by the place. And we're not talking about just from a currency standpoint. We're talking about from an actual economical standpoint. There's a reason why you don't find certain luxury boutiques and stores in some cities. There's a reason why many luxury brands, they will promote the 2 or 3. Have you ever, you noticed that? I know you've seen those luxury posters where they say we're only in these 3 cities, where they'll say London, Tokyo, you know, New York, because they're saying our brand is synonymous with these major global cities, these major international metropolitans. And that's the connection they want you to make. Now, there's different types, of course. There's different types of distribution based on the industry. And that's what we're going to really get into. Distribution and how it looks by industry. And I mean, there's a significant difference, everything from music, film, television, consumer goods, industrial products, medical, and so on and so forth, even automotive. It's completely different. But the key to understanding a major aspect of distribution overall, is that the more that the middleman controls, right, how you get that product to the consumer, and this is what we saw mostly, apparel and fashion is the perfect example for this. That will not only determine price, but that will determine who it's going to get to, how it's going to get there, how often it's going to get there, and the barrier of entry. Because remember, if you weren't in Macy's, if you weren't at, back in the day before they, you know, went by the wayside, Marshall Fields, Carl Superior Scott, JCPenney, major Dillard's, major department stores or luxury department stores, then it was a very slim chance you were going to get to the consumer. Better yet, there was a slim chance you were going to get to a large consumer base, because maybe you do have your one storefront, but your one little storefront on Main Street, USA, right, and downtown, you know, downtown of your city, well, how much exposure was that actually going to get? So department stores really opened up those doors as they clearly going into different cities, going into different markets. They opened up the channels of what? Distribution, the opportunity to get in front of people. If you're starting to make the connection of how this works with other industries, great. If you're not, that's cool, because what we're going to get into now is the way distribution works in different industries. That way you can understand the opportunities that could be there for you and your business from a revenue generation standpoint or from a control standpoint where you can better leverage those channels of distribution for yourself. When we come right back, we're going to get into the way distribution works in different industries and then, of course, how to leverage it for ourselves. All right, everybody, let's get right into it. And I'm going to start off with what's quite possibly the most confusing, misunderstood, and honestly, I think it's, hate to say it, I think it's actually purposeful in the way it's designed, misrepresented, or at least, let's just say they don't deep dive into it as much as they really should. And when I say they, I mean the powers that be, the industry, the ones who typically control those industries, and that's music distribution. So there's many different types of distribution. In general, there's different types of distribution, right? So like I said, defining distribution, understanding what it is, let's go over the different types of distribution. And as we go through these, you're going to start to see, you know, we're going to start off with music, but you're going to kind of see which ones are the most popular based on that industry, right? So with distribution in general, you have basically there's direct sales. Now, direct sales, unfortunately, in most cases, direct sales are not as popular when it comes to a lot of physical goods. They are quite often what you will see the most when it comes to people who have a maybe a storefront or even digital products, right? But direct sales, basically, you are going right directly to the consumer. You produce it, you market it, you make it, you sell it. There's very few. There's hardly any form of an intermediary coming into play. Now, I'm going to clarify something real quick. I often, my opinion, have no problem calling this out, but it's true. My opinion is that this is often the most misrepresented. In other words, there's a lot of places that consider themselves direct sales or not direct sales. And I'll give you an example. Let's say, and I'll give you a more modern example. Let's go with a website. Let's say you own a website. Okay. You, keywords here. You, I was going to put my SEO hat. You know that. Keywords. You own a website. You created that website through, let's say, Shopify. Great platform. One of the best e-commerce platforms out there, if not the best. When you own your own website, you own your domain. You own the product, you produce the product, you post, you take pictures of it, you post it for sale, and people buy it from you. Flip this around. You do the same thing with your products. You make the product, you create the product, you create your own pictures, your text, all that good stuff. But then you post it on sale for Amazon. Say it again. Then you post it for sale on Amazon. You create an Amazon store. Now, I'm going to ask you real quickly. Are both of these forms of direct sales? Yes or no? Share your answer. Getting right to it, these are not both forms of direct sales. Like I said, truly see, and a lot of people will say Amazon is a direct sale. It is not. You do not own Amazon. You do not own the platform. You do not own the website. Although with Shopify, what some people might say, well, I have a Shopify store. Shopify, I don't own Shopify. No, but you own the website. You could take your domain from that Shopify platform. You could take all your products off of Shopify. You can go build a WordPress website. You can get a completely customized CSS, HTML, PHP website, whatever, whoever's going to build it for you, whatever language they're going to build it for you, you can get that built for you. You can go to Wix. You can go to Squarespace. Amazon, on the other hand, no. I bring that up because, like I said, even though we're moving towards where technologies remove some barriers, that's why we call it a Shopify store and storefront, because it is truly a digital storefront. It is your form of direct sales to the consumer. I love to paint like old school real world picture for you. So my product being posted on Amazon for sale is like my product being placed in a Macy's for sale. Like my product going to being sold in Hermes for sale. I don't own Hermes. I don't own Macy's. I don't own, you know, JCPenney. I don't own Target. My product being placed in there. So there's an opportunity there, once again, for that channel of distribution to be controlled by someone else. I wanted to bring that up because that's the very first most and quite possibly the most popular, you know, or I should say most popular, the most glamorized form of distribution, direct sales, but it's often misunderstood and not enough people take an opportunity to take advantage of it. This is why it's best to have your own website so you can at least get a taste of it. Now, of course, there's a retailer. Now, we clearly know what a retailer is. Quite possibly the most effective since its creation, and it ain't going nowhere. No matter what anyone says, it's going to change, but it ain't going nowhere. Just look at it this way, guys. Amazon, as big as Amazon is, what did Amazon start doing and double down on just 3 to 4 years ago? They opened up grocery stores, bought grocery stores, invested in grocery stores, and they opened up more storefronts. Smaller footprint, small storefronts, but storefronts nonetheless. Because retail is not going anywhere. It's going to change, but it's not going to leave completely. We might not have these need for these big, massive malls anymore, especially in America. But there's different ways to do it. Right? Just like co-working spaces. People still want to have an office, but they might not want to have this big, broad, crazy campus level office. Maybe I need a small office. Maybe I just need a desk. I need a tiny desk. Right? Retail. And I just gave you an example of a major retailer digitally. Amazon, what's different from Amazon from any other retailer? Really, there isn't. There really isn't. It's a superstore. It's an online superstore. It's a Target. It's a Walmart. It's a Macy's, right? It's a major retailer. It's just in the digital age. The next one is the independent distributor. Now we're getting into areas that you might not be as familiar with on, let's say, from a technical standpoint, but you've seen them. You know them. You've met with them. You've spoken to these people. So an independent distributor, simply put, are, for lack of a better term, an agent, if you will, right? Who supplies the products to the retailer, right? So distributors are typically used, let's say, I use the term intermediary, kind of as a link. Let's look at it that way. Better term, maybe, as a link in the marketing distribution chain. And some benefits of using an independent distributor, simply put, they have an established network. This is where a person into relationships. We talk about how the old quote, you know, your network is your net worth. Same thing. That relationship that the distributor has. Like I said, you're going to probably start putting pieces together like, oh, now I know what you mean by one. And that's why I use the term an agent, because this is where we see there's no difference. Remember, I told you all businesses have distribution. The pillars of business don't change. The pillars of business are not going anywhere. The foundation is the same. It's just a matter. It may have a different face. Who else has agents? Actors, comedians, dancers, models, professional athletes, directors, writers. See, there's different forms of distribution. If you're thinking of the only form of distribution we're talking about is just for their content, their product, their service, they are the product. Remember, a professional athlete, whether they like it or not, they're a product. Companies, specifically sponsors, teams, they invest a lot of money in them. An agent is a form of distribution. They're an independent agent. They're an independent form of distribution to ensure that that business, that product, okay, is working with another, whether it be production company, sports franchise, you know, publishing house, whether it doesn't matter. The cool part about this form of distribution, this is kind of almost you set your own price. What have you done for me lately? How good you are. You set the market value. It's a tough business. It's all about relationships, but man, it can work out for you. Now, on the, not necessarily the flip side of it, but another aspect of taking that same, well, maybe I'm independent, is the reseller side of things. That's another form of distribution, right? And they're very, very similar, but their format is mostly for strictly working in front of consumers, the end users, the customers, right? So they've brought in the actual product and service. They purchased it, not like a wholesaler. That's why if anybody ever comes to you and they say, hey, you know what? We have a white, you've heard this term, white label services. Then they try to give you this wholesale price. Well, the difference with the wholesaler and the reseller, usually, typically, the wholesaler actually paid some money out and they purchased that product, brought it in. And now they purchased it at such a significant amount, a bulk amount. Right, that they got it at a much lower price. And typically that's what we see wholesalers using, you know, in areas where it's a lot of physical product that costs a lot to produce. The manufacturers, the production companies, they got to get it out there. And they're like, hey, we got to get this money back. So we got to go to a wholesaler who can purchase a lot of it off of us and get it into the channel, get it out to retailers, get it to, you know, get it out to other, you know, smaller businesses or other forms of sales channels. The reseller, on the other hand, typically, be honest with you, what I've noticed and we'll typically see is a lot of resellers, yeah, they may have purchased significant amounts of product, but they typically don't. They're more of a form of promoting and marketing and getting that product out to a specific set of end users. So a lot of resellers don't necessarily purchase a massive amount of product. So like I said, when you see these white label services and they say, hey, you know what? We have these products and services. You can resell it to your clients and we'll give you a discount. But they didn't say, hey, you have to buy so much from us that you can resell to your client. It's a little different. That's usually that wholesale level where it's saying, hey, buy, you know, $10,000 worth of services or of, you know, license keys for our software, whatever it may be. By $10,000 worth, we're giving you a discount because it's really worth $20,000. You can resell it for whatever amount you want. That's the wholesale typical. That's typically the wholesale format, not the reseller format. Reseller format is, hey, here's our product and service. Pitch this to your clients, pitch this to your customers, pitch this to your associates or whatnot. And we still will offer a discounted price, but we're not asking you to pay for anything up front. That's a little difference between the reseller and wholesale. Like I said, you've probably seen both of these, just maybe not in a technical sense, but it's good to know these right off the bat, right? Now, there's another form of distribution that a lot of us we may have seen this one. Not sure if, if a lot of you can pinpoint it, but there's intensive distribution, exclusive distribution. Intensive distribution typically involves selling the products to a large number of different aspects, different channels, right? So you might see everything from where a great example would be, and I mean, this is kind of the best one to go with, is what you see with a consumer soda or what you see with soda pop and, you know, sports drinks, right? You'll see it in a machine at a vending machine. You'll see it in, you know, bottled up in a vending machine. You'll see it at fast food restaurants. You'll see it in movie theaters. You'll see it even in regular restaurants. You'll see them offering, you know, the same drink. So you'll see it broken down into different channels to get the product out as much as possible and get it in your face. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Sprite, all those, you know, these soft drinks. You even see energy drinks in some cases, right? So you'll see it where they have it at the machine in the fast food restaurant, at the movie theater, but then they have it bottled. They might even have it in two different methods at the exact same venue, the exact same location, right? It's intensive distribution. Here's the thing about that. Unless you're running something where you got to get a lot of product out to a lot of consumers to make a profit, you're probably not going to do this as much, right? Intensive distribution. But you got to think about this from the standpoint, if you're starting your business, you may need to look at what are the various ways that I can get my product out, packaged to the end user, right? Do I have to, in one case, do I have to sell it to a middleman in one, you know, one format, and then sell it to a middleman in a different format? That's why it'd be good to have a good relationship with wholesalers, right? To understand if there's opportunities like that. Then there's exclusive distribution. Okay. Now, kind of makes sense. It's the exact opposite of intensive. It's not like trying to get to people in 15 different methods, right? It's really, I need one specific, for lack of a better term, exclusive way of getting it to the people, because this is what you'll see mostly in luxury brands. I don't want just anybody to get my product. I don't want just anybody to see my product, right? I want a very exclusive, a very selective, specific group of people, specific target users, right, to have an opportunity to even purchase my product, because I'm working on exclusivity. I'm working on privilege. I'm working off of luxury. Like I said, this is what you're going to see in those luxury brands. Like when I brought up the store, perfect examples I brought up the luxury, you know, department store Hermes. Not just any product is there, right? It's not just any product in this. It's not even a, to say it's like a department store is kind of even a downgrade, right, to a sense of it, because it's just, it's a luxury house. It's a luxury brand within itself. So it only going to sell luxury brands, right? You're not going to go in there, and I'm not going to start knocking brands. So I'm not going to start nailing. I was about to do it. I'm not going to do it. But let's just say this is where you're going to find your Rolex, right? This is where you're going to find your Gucci. This is where you're going to find and even, you know, more exclusive brands where you don't even know their names. Just to be real, a lot of brands you've probably never even heard of, because that's what they're going for. You have to travel, okay, from North America to Europe just to get to this place, just to see the brands in person. Maybe they have their website. Yeah, it could be there. But once again, that's probably the only way you're going to see it if you're not directly in front of that store, if you're not directly going in there, you know, on a vacation, or, you know, your opportunity to actually visit the store when you visit one of the few locations they have. It's that level of exclusivity. And then there's selective distribution, which is kind of a combination, right? So you may have a premium level of the brand, a premium level of the product and service that's only sold at, once again, a specific retailer, even an online retailer. And then you have a different level of your brand. You have maybe a more affordable label, if you will, right? We come like looking at it from a brand standpoint, brand labels, more affordable label, and that's sold at different, you know, different price points at a different type of retailer. Different forms of distribution. How does that work by industry? Well, give you a great example. Let's look at the automotive industry. Before we get into music, let's look at the automotive industry, because automotive is one of the best areas to not only certain distribution, but also the difference, just like fashion, when it comes to luxury brands. You have Toyota, right? Well, Toyota has a luxury brand. Lexus have maybe a part of an auto group where they have Toyota sold in one lot, and Lexus is sold in another lot, right? Because the idea is to give you, it's the same overall encompassing company, but they have two different retailers, two different auto lots that are selling two, technically, yes, two different brands. We see this a lot of times with fashion. So when thinking of the reseller or wholesaler, because the automotive industry has both, right? Especially if they're pre-owned vehicles. There's a lot of resellers, right? They purchase a vehicle, they resell it, but they exclusively sell from one brand. That is a distribution channel. Unless you have a lot of different forms of resellers, right? There's a reason for that. That distribution channel is relying heavily on wholesale, resale. Extremely. That means a lot of the manufacturers don't have as much control as they need in some cases, right? Now, of course, we're not crying a tear for automotive manufacturers, but this will help you understand what the power of that industry is. Now start looking at your industry that you're about to get into. Do you need a lot of resellers? Do you need a lot of wholesalers? Do you need a lot of department stores per se? Where's the power going to be when you start coming up? Because this is going to go into your business plan. It's going to go into your, this is going to go into everything that you start thinking about your business. Now, like I said, I wanted to go into music, but I wanted to first give some foundation of not only the different forms of distribution, but also when we start thinking about music distribution, how does it look? So now let's look at it from the music industry standpoint. Music distribution, like I said, it's far more complex than it has to be. It is. It's unfortunately far more complex than it has to be. But there's a level in the complexity, or should I say there's a logic in the complexity, because what happens is that the more complex it is, I hate to say it, the harder it is to track with. Looking at our examples again, direct to consumer, what will that clearly be? Well, that's you selling your music, whether it be on your website, your storefront. When you do shows, that's you directly getting to the consumer and getting it into their hands. But because the music industry, especially because music very much, which is so interesting, how there's far more emphasis in music than there is enough in movie and film. And I think that's because a lot of people from the television, film, video entertainment industry, they haven't really taken the time to see all the tools that are at their disposal. Because really, if you think about it, music and video, they can work the exact same way. There are thousands. When I was managing bands and artists, there are so many different distribution companies. One distribution company can get you to, and this is where we're going to start going over the different forms of distribution in music. There's, you know, one distribution company can get you on TikTok, Apple Music, Google Play, you know, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music. What does that all mean? Well, you might have different formats for your music, but the idea is the distribution company can get you into those different, not only music marketplaces where you can sell your entire album, you can sell a mixtape, you can sell one single, but also where your music can be promoted. Remember those four P's, your music can be promoted across those platforms. You can actually retain some, or you can receive some type of royalty, some type of financial gain from having that music promoted there. But you can, more importantly, you get the exposure. And that's really what a lot of distribution companies are being used for, which from a business standpoint, I think it's foolish, because remember, distribution is in part marketing. It's not everything. It's not your advertising. It's not your public relations. It's not, you know, your overall promotions and everything. Distribution is one form of it. Distribution, you should be recouping. If I'm spending $1,000, I need to get 2, 5, 6, 10, 20,000 back, right? Not to say you shouldn't get that from marketing and advertising. It's just that that is a very direct link, right? It's the same thing. If I'm spending money on a sales team, what's my expectation from their work? To get sales, right? That's why sales and marketing are separate, because marketing, although yes, it's supposed to generate attention, it's supposed to generate buzz, it's supposed to get people, you know, to buy tickets or buy seats or whatever it may be. That direct correlation, I paid for distribution to these retailers on these platforms, I need this much back. Because that is a direct link to product in people's hands, product in people's pockets, or I should say money out their pocket. Money out their pocket, in my pocket. That's what it should be. That's what it really should be. Money out their pocket, in my pocket. Sales distribution, that's what you're looking at. So you're like, well, you're probably wondering, well, Aaron, you said it was very complex, it's convoluted, all that stuff. That sounded very straightforward when it comes to music distribution. Yeah, but then again, like I said, there's thousands of distribution companies. And the crazy part is, remember when I gave you the different types of distribution? One distribution company could be working with 20 other distribution companies that do it a little bit differently. In other words, there could be one distribution company that has a layer of distribution under it that focuses on retail. And then another layer of distribution under it that focuses on direct sales. Then another layer of distribution under it that focuses on, and you see where I'm going with this, right? This is where it gets really sticky. And don't get me wrong, I do understand the challenge, especially from an artist standpoint, of trying to manage all this stuff. It was brought up in our core spaces. Quick side note, it was brought up in our core spaces to have an episode strictly about, you know, different industries. And they brought up music and writing, and specifically, you know, publications, whether fiction writing, nonfiction writing. And I thought that'd be a really cool idea, you know, to have episodes that are specifically, we're going to talk about, break down every, an episode for every industry. So if that's something you're interested in, especially with my background of working with artists, that's kind of where really my heart lies, is working with creatives, writers, artists, musicians. I would love to do an episode like that. So if that's something you guys want to hear, if there's specific industries you want to hit, that's what I want to focus on. Let me know. Drop a comment. Drop a comment on our YouTube. Drop a comment on our YouTube channel, The Ambition Show Podcast on YouTube, and let me know what industry you want to have an episode on. So when I say break it down like a fraction, I mean break it down like a fraction. We'll go through everything of literally the thing I really wanted to focus on with the music episode was how to run, like how to be an artist without a record label. You don't need a record label. You haven't needed a record label in a long time. To be very sincere with you, if you were an artist, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm definitely not saying it's affordable, right? That's the challenge. But there, especially nowadays, there's so many means to where you don't need a record label. We will break that down like a fraction. So an entrepreneur in different industries. I want to start off with music from an artist standpoint. But if there's a specific industry you want to go into, like let's say if you are a fashion designer, you know how to start your own fashion clothing line. A lot of times, of course, I'm coming from the aspect of you being that creative, you being that skilled entrepreneur. So if you're an entrepreneur, I'm just calling this out. If you're an entrepreneur who, let's say you don't have the technical skills, you don't have the creative skill, and you're going to hire, we can touch on that, but that's not necessarily going to be the focal point. Whatever industries you want to know about, let me know. We'll make an episode about it. Put that in our YouTube, on our YouTube comments for this episode. So with that, music distribution, that is quite possibly the most complicated just because of how layered it is, right? Unlike the automotive industry, which is, it still has those challenges. It can have those layers as well. But the manufacturers control so much of the business. It's kind of hard for them to get, for lack of a better term, screwed over, right? Unfortunately, we see that mostly in the music business, which is very similar to television. Now, here's television and film. Don't get me wrong. The biggest difference with television and film, like I said, is slightly different, but it's very close to music, is the emphasis on streaming. Now, yes, we've seen the major emphasis on music streaming. There's no question of that. But there is nothing like radio when it comes to television and film. Radio is still free. Radio is very much available to everyone. Radio is very much out there and available for everyone to consume. And once you get outside the U.S., radio is still very huge. Radio is extremely important in the U.S., but when you get outside the U.S., it's totally different. So I bring that up to say that it's similar, but that's kind of that barrier. That's kind of that level, that platform that's kind of separating the two. Because with film and television, as we all know, yeah, you can have free TV, but let's be honest, most of us are watching streaming. You know, if you're consuming this on YouTube, you're consuming this on iTunes, you're consuming this, you know, on Spotify, all streaming platforms, all digital streaming platforms, right? But you don't see reruns of television shows on a lot of these streaming platforms. Yeah, okay, you have a Netflix, but then you only have select shows on those Netflix, and those are distribution channels. That's why I'm saying it is a little different. It's not as complex of you don't know all of the major players because there's so many players in music. With television and film, it's a little bit more clear cut. It's a little more clear for that. But it's still that level of there's different routes because number one, you could be watching it on YouTube and you pay for a rental fee for it, right? To consume a television show or a movie. Then you flip around, you say that same product or that same television show or movie is on Tubi, which is ad-based. flip around again. You're paying monthly fee, and it's actually still on Netflix as well. So you have three completely different forms of distribution to get that product into in front of the consumer. Here's the cool part about that. I just gave you monthly subscription, Netflix. Rent it on YouTube. Ad base on Tubi. Why is that so cool? Ad-based, you're getting your funding. I'm sorry, not your funding, but you're getting paid that revenue stream. You're not worried about it from a consumer standpoint. Funding, you're not getting it from a consumer standpoint, right? You're getting it from the advertisers. Rental on YouTube, licensing. It's going to come from that YouTube. YouTube has to be able to show it, right? And they're going to get compensated by the user. Netflix, straight up licensing deal, right? Straight up, I got to pay you to get this on my show. Reason why I bring that up and why that's a lot better is simply because with music, like I said, they're so convoluted, it's hard to find where that money is coming from. In film, television is a little bit more clear cut of where that funding is coming, where that money, that revenue, I keep saying funding, where that revenue is coming from, right? Now, those are quite possibly the biggest besides consumer goods, and consumer goods can go all over the place. But let's get to my favorite, e-commerce. E-commerce is technically within itself its own industry, but it's also a very fundamental point of where we're seeing distribution. But the cool part about e-commerce is e-commerce is not one format. E-commerce can be your website. E-commerce can be an app. E-commerce also, here come those intermediaries, can be social selling, social ads, social storefronts. So if you have a Facebook store, an Instagram store, items and products on TikTok, Pinterest pins that are profitable pins, right? Pins where you're making money from those. You could have all of those going into play, but those are now, once again, those are not direct to consumer. I love when people say, oh, I'm direct, you know, I'm speaking directly to my customers as direct consumer. Yeah, you might be speaking directly to them, but you don't control that distribution channel. This happens every time, whether it be an actor, a model, a rapper, a singer, a dancer, a politician, doesn't matter who it is. What happens? Oh, they took away my Facebook. They took away my Twitter. They took away my Instagram. They took away my Pinterest. I don't know about Pinterest. I don't see that too many times. But, you know, they banned me from one platform or another. And how many times have we heard, that's how I make money. That's how I'm getting in sponsors. That's how I get in advertising dollars. That's how I get in. Because you don't control that distribution channel. The only one you control, which we just went over earlier, the only one you control is your website, your app. I'll ask you this, guys. If you guys do have it, I would love to hear it. Drop a comment. Drop a comment, send an email, one of the others. Drop a comment, send an email. How many of you guys, how many of you business owners that do have a website, how many of you that own, that have a website for your product or for your business? Here's a good one. Have an app, a mobile app, an app or a platform that's actually optimized for mobile devices, tablet, Android, iPhone, Windows Phone, doesn't matter, Google Phone. Yes, there are Windows phones. How many of you have an app for a mobile device that can be downloaded from your website? Say it again. For you guys who have websites, how many of you have an app for mobile devices that can be downloaded from your website? Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Why does that matter, Aaron? Because as normal, I'm thinking about the distribution channel that you should control. The distribution channel you should control is your website, But if your app is, oh, well, you can find my app at the Apple Store. You can find my app at the Google Store. You can, or Google Play Store. You can find my app on Amazon. That's great. Here's what's not great. You don't own Apple. You don't own Google. You don't own Amazon. So for whatever reason, if they want to take your app off of one of those stores and platforms, they have every right to. See, getting to the core of the Ambition Show, it's all about not just the value of what you're producing. Same thing is at the heart of your brand. The heart of this brand is the same thing that my clients for years weren't thinking about, that I didn't think about when I first started it, what a lot of entrepreneurs miss out on. That's the purpose. Learning from not only others' mistakes, but others' accomplishments and opportunities. The whole purpose is to build on what others fail to do, make opportunities, seize opportunities, learn from others' mistakes, and learn from others' accomplishments as well. One of the biggest things I noticed with a lot of my past clients was they weren't taking a few steps back to look outside the box for a second, right? Like I said, learning and understanding how distribution works and defining it is the first step, and how to leverage it for yourself, how to turn it into a revenue-generating machine for yourself. You don't own any of these platforms. What I went through about music and television and automobiles, hey, you might think to yourself, Aaron, I'm not an automobile manufacturer. Why does that matter to me? Because notice that I'm talking about a very powerful and frankly, one of the most important industries in the entire world, right? The automobile industry, right? We've seen how governments have literally shifted because of the automobile industry, right? Regimes around the world. Seriously, if you don't believe me, I'm not making that up by any means, right? But their distribution channels are so important that if they focus on one, they need remember what we talked about. They need that selective distribution because they got to have a nice mix. They can't rely strictly on wholesalers and resellers. They have to have not only aspects for the luxury brand, they have to have aspects for the more affordable, more economical brands, the electric cars, the hybrid cars. They have to have multiple forms of distribution to get that into the channel. And that's a very powerful industry where the industry should control everything, but it doesn't completely. And then we see another shift with music. Getting back to it, it's a very complex, convoluted distribution, form of distribution, but it's extremely important because of how diverse the actual industry is and the ways to get product into people's hands. So you need the people who can work you need distribution companies that have the direct sellers, that have the resellers, that have the wholesalers, that can go to licensing platforms, that can go to the platforms where the musician or specifically the record label is getting paid directly back. And that's what we're going to get into that in that episode. Like I said, drop a comment depending upon what episode, you know, I'm sorry, what industry you want to have an episode based on. So we're going to do music for sure. And the whole aspect is how to run your entire business, your music business, as an artist, as a creative, yourself. That's going to be what the whole episode's about. Let me know what other industries you want us to focus on, and we'll get it done this summer. So taking it back to the importance of understanding where others have been successful and what others have done, no matter what, how big the industry is, not how big the industry is, how small it is. E-commerce is your best opportunity to fully control whatever business you have. And in the greatest example I've given about, you know, web design in a webinar that I produce, I'll put a link to that webinar because I remember a lot of people like, and just kind of how we broke down websites, and literally the whole webinar is my first website, small business owners, my first website. And I'll give you the real quick high level of it. It's basically look at your website as your storefront. That's all it is. It's a digital manifestation of your storefront. Now, why would you take a portion of your product and service and then say, hey, everything else is in the storefront. Oh, except for this, where you can only get it at Macy's, which is the app. that you can only get at the Google Play Store. Not to knock the Google Play Store, but for whatever reason, what if they want to take it off? What if they just say, you know what? We don't want to have that app on that platform anymore. They have the right because they own the platform. If you have a, I'm going to finish it with this. If you have a website for your small business, and I know almost every business owner I talk to talks about this. Oh, I want an app. Great. I'm cool with that. That's freaking awesome. That makes sense. You want to create a better experience for your users where they are, which is their mobile devices. But here's the thing. I want an app, and it's got to be in the Google Play Store. Cool. I want an app, and it's got to be Apple. It's got to be an Apple, you know, App Store. Okay, great. I want an app, and it's got to be on Amazon. Fantastic. Why aren't we thinking of, I want an app, I need an app, and it has to be downloaded from my website? It's doable. It's completely doable. If you're not thinking about that, you should be thinking about it. So with that, when we come back, we're going to finish specifically on the revenue generation way of the revenue generation methods, I should say, of utilizing distribution. Fantastic reads, fantastic suggestions from our book list in this episode. So you want to definitely stay around for those two components as we end this episode. All right, be right back. It really is. It's good, everybody. So welcome back. So we went over defining what distribution is, the different distribution channels by industry. We went over some big and powerful and important industries, but not all industries. The cool part about that is the distributions that I went over, the formats, almost every industry has those forms of distribution. Everything like direct sales, reseller, wholesaler, and so on. The only difference is the emphasis that each industry places on different ones. And of course, as I brought up specifically with the music business, it's like few other businesses or a few other industries where it's so convoluted. It's so complex because it's layered. It makes it harder for the actual artists and the producers to get the level of revenue they truly deserve from all the work they're putting into, because there's so many forms of distribution. Right? It's kind of like the money, the dollar is being cut up in so many different ways. So with that, how can you control and generate revenue from your distribution? Number one, this is universal. And the cool part about this is that because it's universal, you can take what you got in this episode and you can literally start running with it right now. Whether it's you've owned the business for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you're about to start the business from scratch. Doesn't matter. Number one is distribution in your industry. That's the very first way to learn how to control it, learn how to generate revenue from it. Because you have to identify what channel of distribution is the most profitable, the most complex, and of course, which one is truly within your means to control or to leverage, just as with the automotive industry. The automotive industry, we went over different forms of distribution. The cool part is that depending upon the auto brand that we talk about, the auto manufacturer, distribution is slightly different. I'll give you a great example. Compare Tesla and Ford. You can't franchise a Tesla dealership, at least not as of today. I can't go out and purchase one. Just on a whim. And not to say it's anything on a whim, but I can look into, and it's a pretty clear path. If I want to sell Ford vehicles, if I want to sell Dodge Chrysler vehicles, if I want to sell Mercedes vehicles, it's a very clear path. Not so much with Tesla. And you know, here's the cool part about it. Tesla's not the only one, because they didn't even create that business model. That business model has been used by dozens of other auto manufacturers. Ferrari, Bentley, before some of them were purchased and brought into larger conglomerates, and there's still other smaller auto manufacturers that are out there. So you need to find out what the distribution channel, how it works in your industry, and how you can leverage it. Because like I said, in some industries, it might be so expensive to even get a distribution channel started. It's better off if you learn how to leverage it. And that goes into step two. Step two is the three areas I gave you, or sorry, the three areas of distribution we brought up and I brought up to you: direct sales, reseller, wholesaler. These three, we're going to have an episode about business models. This falls into business models. We're going to have a specific episode just about business models, how to use business models. This goes right into that. There's direct sales business model. There's a reseller or white label business model, right? Those kind of work, they kind of synonymous. And then there's the wholesaler. Now, right off the bat, I'm going to call this out. From anybody who's worked in fashion, anybody who's worked in consumer goods, so whether you're selling CDs, phones, doesn't matter, wholesale, it's not as profitable as people think. It's not. It's actually a really low margin. The scariest part is, and I'll look this up and I'm going to post this, I'm not sure who has the better margin. I think it's really based on industry, but I'm not sure if wholesalers or retailers have the better margin, profit margin. And if you're not thinking about that, if I'm talking over your head, I'm not knocking you. We all got to start somewhere. When I'm talking about profit margin, I'm talking about, simply put, how much money you get back after everything's been paid off, after all those expenses have been taken care of, after all your people have been paid, how much you actually getting back in your pocket, that profit margin. And frankly, I really think it does depend upon industry. I'll share that when I find it. I'm going to look for it, because the more I think about it, every time we talk about wholesalers and retailers, it happens too often where the emphasis is given to, oh, wow, you should get and be a retailer. You should be a retailer. When in some industries, it pays a lot more to be that wholesaler, which is another area of distribution. But remember, we already talked about that from the very beginning. Retailing is a form of distribution, right? It is. It's literally right there in front of the consumer. But that consumer-facing retailer sometimes gets the least amount of profit out of all that work, because they got to advertise, they got to promote, they got to share it out there, whether it's digital or not. Then finally, it's 2023, y'all. I said this is going to be it's very simple. I'm getting right to the point. It's very simple. It's 2023, y'all. I don't care what industry you're in. 2003? Definitely. I could see you not having this. 2013, you pushing it. You really are pushing it, but you know what? I'm going to let you slide. Maybe you couldn't afford it. Maybe you weren't even out of college. Maybe you weren't out of high school yet. I will give you that. It is 2023. If you're listening to this in 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, then this message should hit you over the head. You have a business. You're starting a business. You, emphasis, must have a website. Don't count on YouTube. Don't count on Spotify. Don't count on Shopify. Don't count on Amazon. Don't count on eBay. Beautiful platforms, great platforms that you can utilize, that you can optimize, that you can make a lot of money from, that you can utilize to your advantage. You don't own them. From an individual who runs a digital marketing business, from an individual that builds websites for a living, from an individual that utilizes all those platforms and more, I don't own them. So if you've taken the time, get your LLC. You've taken the time to open up that business checking account. You've taken the time to file and obtain business credit. You've taken the time to hire employees. You've taken the time to create a logo, to create a brand. You need a website. Everything from product being purchased directly from my website by my consumer, everything from my app being downloaded directly from my website onto my customer's phone, everything from leave a comment. When I say leave a comment, you notice I say, yeah, leave a comment on our YouTube, leave a comment on our, on our podcast page. You know where all those comments are coming back to? Our website. Why we have a blog there? Why we have all the episodes there? Allah forbid, if YouTube, for whatever reason, all the servers, it's happened to other platforms. It even happened to YouTube once. All the servers, whatever, there's an issue. You know where you can still grab an episode of the Ambitious Show podcast? Our website. You'll never miss an episode. No matter what happens to the other platform, you never miss an episode there. That is your ultimate form of distribution. That is the one form of distribution you can keep in your control. And I know what you might be thinking in the back of your head. Well, what if I build a website on Spotify? I'm sorry, Shopify, and I don't want to go, you know, want to have that platform. There's many other hosting platforms for your website. Or you could purchase your own server. You see what I'm saying? It's still in your control. And like I say, if you're having questions about that, just about like just the concept, general concept of websites, webinar. My first website, small business webinar I did a few years ago. Everything there is evergreen. The cool part about that was in a completely evergreen webinar, meaning that you can look at that for many, many years. That's not changing. The information that's shared there is not changing, right? You can build on it. That's the whole purpose. It's a great foundation to build on. And that was the purpose of it. It's a short, sweet, to the point webinar, but it's fundamental. I'll say it gives you those fundamentals. So check it out. My first website. It's a great webinar. We have it right there over on YouTube. Wait a minute. I forgot too. It's on our website. I said it like that because I meant it like that. It is. And that's the whole point. It is. It's there for you to consume at any time. So with that, books of the episode. If you do those three steps, you identify, you see which opportunities of distribution and channels of distribution you can control, you can leverage, and then you create your nexus or you have your centralized location to control those at your website. You can run your entire business, set it up for dozens of business owners to do from scratch. I've done it, you know, set entire databases where they're running their entire business from one dashboard all from their website. They don't have to go to 15 different places. You know, if you want to learn how to do that, or you want help doing that, you can always contact us, of course. But this episode wouldn't be complete without giving you what to read. Most importantly, it will not be what you need the most without giving you what to read, because I gave you my examples. I gave you my, you know, my summaries of some of the things I pulled from some of these books over the years. But these are some fantastic fundamentals, if you will, of what distribution is, and great in-depth analysis of what distribution is. If you're looking to start a distribution company, if you're looking to get into distribution from a different industry, the very first book, Distribution Companies, what do they do exactly? Sums it up right there. It goes into the basics and the importance of distribution in the distribution companies by different industries. So if you are really looking to get into it a little bit more in depth, to where you're like, I don't just want to understand how to leverage distribution companies from my business. I want to actually make the business. I want to create a business as a distribution company. Great, great, great book to start with. Another book, Distribution Channels, right? Really goes into understanding how valuable distribution is in all industries. So it takes a deep dive into every single industry. Like I said, we went to some of the most prominent, most well-known, some of the most, you know, top of mind. But this goes into every major industry you can think of. Everything from software, audio production, music, goes into all of them. Fantastic book. Marketing Distribution Channels. Okay. This next book is really going to give you the basic of how distribution in marketing, specifically from marketing terms, that P in the four of the four P's, that, you know, we talked about that a little bit earlier in defining distribution under marketing terms, how distribution in marketing terms and marketing works provides the value to the overall business, specifically you, the business owner. This, if you couldn't really grasp that concept, right, whenever you went to business school or someone else was trying to explain it to you, this book not only goes deep dives into, from a marketing standpoint, how valuable it is, but overall to your business's bottom line. So if you're a marketer, you'll get the gist of it, of course. But from the business owner, if you're a business owner, you're like, I'm not really touching my marketing, but I want to know how it's working. And more importantly, I want to know how distribution is controlling my business, or how it's being profit, or how, you know, how profitable it is to my business if I handle the distribution channel, or if I, you know, leverage that distribution channel from a financial standpoint a little bit more. Great book for that. And finally, The Mechanics of Music Distribution. It's complex. It's a lot. It's all over the place. I was given this book when I was first really getting into music. Because like I've brought this up in the past, when I'm one of those people that when I do something, I deep dive in it. Like, I'm not going to just learn from the producer standpoint. I'm going to learn from the producer, the distributor, the manager, the marketer, the executive, the door washer, you know, the window washer, the dishwasher. I'm going to learn it all. Like, when I was managing, and I've done it all. When I managed a bar, I don't drink, but I was learning how to make drinks. I was learning how to mix the drinks. I was learning that kind of stuff because to me, that's very important. If you're going to be a part of something, to go wholehearted with it. This book helped that so much, just to understand the mechanics and the understanding the basics of the music distribution. And that's why I said it's so deep and it's so complex. We just scratched the bare surface of it. That's why we have a whole episode about that. In the music industry in general, or specifically from an artist standpoint, how they can run their own business in the music industry. But this book is, I would say, it's an entire class on understanding music distribution and marketing from a manager or record label exec standpoint, how it works and how the companies work. And the cool part about it is the authors, the editorial team that put the book together, they've worked for some of the biggest distributors in the world. Everything from, you know, your major, you know, your Universals and bigger, the people who've been consumed, because Universal was consumed, the companies were bought, to the companies that are the companies behind the companies. And for you guys who know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, the companies behind the company, right? You have the face company, and then you have the company that's really running everything. But this book goes into everything. How distribution works. The biggest companies, individuals in the industry, in the field, and you know that sector, and how you can truly take advantage of that information as an entrepreneur and take advantage of that. In other words, leveraging it. Remember, like I said, you might not purchase, right? You might not buy a company. You might not start a company, but you can leverage the distribution channels and put them more in your favor, right? So with that, I'm going to close it with the takeaway of this episode. And quite simply, it was the part that I hit on earlier. And I'm sorry, I can't emphasize this enough. You have to have your own website. And if not this year, next year, I'm going to start saying you have to have your own website and app. Because more and more users are starting to, more and more users are just strictly using mobile devices. It's about the consumer. It's not about, no offense, it's not about you. It's about the consumer. If you don't want to provide value for them, you need to get out of business. Sorry, it's just the way it is. It's about them. If you can't get the product and service to them, where they're going to consume the product and service the most, what are you producing it for? So, right now, take advantage of the fact that there are a lot of businesses that still don't even have their own websites. There are companies out here who are saying, oh, my Instagram is my business. My Amazon store is my business. My, you know, my eBay store is my business. That's fine. Let them take advantage. Let them think that. I'm beyond, and I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm always going to keep it a buck with y'all. Because you're my community. I'm a part of this community. I'm always going to keep it a buck with y'all. The fact is, you don't own Instagram, you don't own Facebook, you don't own Pinterest, you don't own Amazon, you don't, and I'm going to keep going down that list. If that's the only means, or the primary means is one thing, but if that's the only means for you to get your product or service to your consumer, you are doing yourself a huge, catastrophic discredit to your business and also to your consumer, because you're also limiting the ways that they can interact with you. So, takeaway with this episode is an opportunity to utilize Shopify from an e-commerce standpoint. Like I said, Shopify honestly, it's my favorite of e-commerce platforms when it comes to website builders. If you're going to build a completely customized website, completely understand. But Shopify, really, it was my first huge endeavor when I personally, not necessarily from a client standpoint, when I personally wanted to take it on myself to start an e-commerce store, I went with Shopify. And frankly, I'm glad I did that because there's other platforms, you know, they came along. Don't get me wrong. They've come along. There's a lot of good competitors nowadays. I'm not going to knock this. A lot of good competitors. But this is what they do. they are e-commerce. So if you're going to start your own website, get your domain, own your piece of digital real estate, start building out your digital storefront. Shopify is one of the best ways to start that off. And that goes into working with distributors from other, and I'm not going to go into all the different distribution channels again, but in different ways and different methods to get your product and service to your consumer. So with that, multiple books for this episode because distribution is such an in-depth area. It's a lot that encompasses it. But honestly, each one of these books are available because there's been so much research, so much information, so much valuable material on how distribution controls almost every single industry, or how every industry can profit, or every business in every industry, I'm sorry, can profit from leveraging or even controlling their own distribution channel. That's why you have so much information about it. So from the marketing standpoint, you got it. The understanding of different distribution channels, you got it. From understanding the mechanics in music business, you got it. And the basics of what distribution companies do, the ins and outs, and how you can leverage them and the importance of their value in different businesses and different industries, you've got those. All those books right there. All of that is in the description of this episode. With that, this has been The Ambition Show. I know you're like, wow, Aaron, that's a lot. It is a lot. That's The Ambition Show. That's what we do here. The whole idea is to support you in your entrepreneurial endeavor. Like I said, you can watch any episode. You can listen to any episode in any kind of order, depending upon where you are in your journey. The money is in distribution. There's a reason why the money's in distribution. In every single industry, from automotive, music, e-commerce, doesn't matter. Every single industry. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Ambition Show. I will see you around for the next one. My name is Aaron Muhammad. I've been your host. Much appreciate you guys dropping a comment for the episode that you want to see based on an industry. So we're going to definitely do running your own music business, right? And remember, a lot of it's from the perspective of the creator, the musician. Whatever the industry you're looking for, let me know. Drop a comment. We'll see if we can get that episode done by this summer. And when I say we're going to get it done, we're going to go in depth, right? We're going to focus on that industry and that industry alone for those episodes. So look forward to it. We're going to kick it off with, the music industry. But who knows what we might go into. We might go into the medical field, might go into something else, legal field, never know. And I will do my best to make sure that you have the information you need to get it started right away. Or if you've already started, to pull information from there, and maybe you might have to revamp your brand, revamp your business a little bit. And don't forget to check out the webinar. It was produced a few years back. Information still there, still very valuable. Like I said, the validation is right there. My first website, small business perspective, my first website. I'm not getting into some super technical jargon. It's from the business owner's perspective, which is what matters the most, right? Check that out right there, available at theambitiousshow.com website. Peace, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ambitious Show podcast. And I will see you around. Best of you and yours.